Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome to another episode of the Fell Into Food Podcast. I'm your host, Chef Jeff Fell. I have a really old school friend with me today, Lewis. He was one of the first guys I ever worked with in the casino. And literally today is going to be catch-up day. See what's been going on since. The funny story of how we ran back into each other. Well, there's been a few kind of along the way. But yeah, maybe before we get cooking and what we're going to just kind of have fun playing around with today, give like a quick 10,000 foot view of how you fell into food and just kind of as you progress, because I'm going to be asking you where you bounced around to.
Sure, definitely. I mean, food wasn't even on my vision board when I first started. I was a graphic designer at first, and I was going to school for graphic design.
Where were you going?
I was going to Columbia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I spent a semester there. Well, I got my prerequisites at JJC.
Okay.
And then I was like, all right, let's spend all my money. So I went to Columbia for like a semester.
Of course.
And realized, shit. Like being a graphic designer, you don't make a lot of money. On top of that, I couldn't see myself hovering over a desk for 8 hours a day. Plus, I needed money. I was broke college kid.
Yeah.
So I started working at Hooters, and there's kind of where I fell into food for sure. Within a year, I started a dishwasher, and then within a year, I was already kitchen manager at Hooters.
What time or how old were you when you were doing that?
I was about 19, 20 years old.
19, 20.
Okay. Yeah.
Because when did you move over to the casino? Because that's how we met. So if anyone doesn't know, like that's how we met was at the casino. So I guess maybe let me take a step back. Let's maybe tell everyone what we're going to make today. And then we'll jump into that story.
Sure. We're going to make my elevated take on corn in a cup and an esquita salad. I've got all the basic accoutrements that you would put with corn in a cup. And then I elevate a little bit by adding some couscous and a bright, zesty cilantro lime dressing.
Nice. Okay, cool. All right. So get working on what you're going to prep on.
For sure.
So how old were you when you went to the casino?
About 22, 23 years old.
Okay.
I had worked at Hooters for a good 5-6 years. I had done everything I had wanted. I had hit that glass ceiling. I knew I wasn't going to be making the big bucks there, and after that I was like, okay, well, let's make this culinary thing happen. At the same time, I started working at the casino. I started going to culinary school.
Now did you go back to GGC or did you go?
I went to the Academy of the Arts in Chicago. It's now defunct. It was on Randolph and Wabash. So I went there, got my degree in like 2.5 years. And then before you knew it, well, I think, that's when I met you or when I was going to culinary school.
Oh, you were in school when I finally had popped over.
Definitely. Cause, what year was that when you started?
My gosh, that would have been, let's see. I went to school when I was 24. I got the job at the casino when it was before I was done. So about 25. So my God, show the age here, 13 years ago. So was that 2012?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Ish, somewhere in that ballpark?
I think so, man.
If you really think about how time moves. So about that time. I think I was 25, 26 when I started the casino.
Okay.
I didn't know shit. This is a funny story. I don't know if you ever remember my first day. I came in. You, Alfredo, everyone was just like hustling and bustling because we worked at Mosaic. In the upscale American.
That's true.
I was nervous as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I'd never worked in a kitchen. I'd been in culinary school for a year, but I didn't really know what was going on.
You did look pretty green for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And the first thing, so obviously I got the kitchen tour, and the first thing I was asked to do was calamari. Like, okay, here, cut this calamari. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to cut it. Well, I didn't know, right? It was basically thawed out. So it was like really wet.
Yeah.
And it's like bacon, right? Warm bacon. It is not easy to cut. And you know how sharp, I think Cozzini had just came and swapped out the knives.
Yeah, definitely. I do remember that.
So I'm on the back table. Mm-hmm. You were running around, but I was on the back table, and I was just trying to go as fast as I could because you guys were flying. I was like, dude, I don't go fast. These guys are going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
They're going to think I don't belong in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Even at 25, 20, like, that's how I felt. So I was sitting there cutting. My finger slipped out, and I whacked off a quarter of my finger.
I do remember that, yeah.
So I run over to the first aid kit. Mm-hmm. I grab whatever I can to just bundle it up.
Yeah.
Chef Bedell at the time comes over and he goes, what happened? I go, I nicked something open from culinary school. I didn't want to be that guy of like, I just whacked off a quarter of my finger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I did. I cut off the whole corner of my finger.
Oof.
And that night I was on fry. So like I was with the Sally up there. Yeah. So anytime you guys like prime rib, I'm throwing those, dude, it was the most agonizing pain. I couldn't take that bandage off for a solid like month.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to the hospital because I didn't know about like with healthcare and everything else. Like, oh, should I go to the hospital? Should I not? Right. So I just let it like grow. Ooh. It grew back. But yeah, that was my first day in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope these guys like don't like know what happened.
I remember we were talking amongst ourselves and we were like, hey, like he didn't cry about it. He didn't, you know, want to go to the hospital. He just weathered through it. And like in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, this guy's got it for sure. I mean,
oh, dude, I was bad
for sure.
It was agonizing pain, but all I wanted to do was like fit in because I was like, this is what I want to do. Yeah, it's the first day in the kitchen. Yeah, meeting you guys. That was one of those delis.
All
right, so here's a deli. Okay, what's next? What do we got?
If you want to dice up this onion for me.
All right, let me grab this board then.
Sure. All right, I'll put our meats right over here.
Cool.
Yep. And then so I'll just start it on
this way. So that's, how I met you guys. You'd work mostly grill when I was there.
I was pretty ambitious because you don't really work the grill right away when you start there.
Right.
And I remember it was Chef Ty who was the room chef for...
Was Ty the room chef at that time?
Yeah, he was the room chef for Reserve, the steakhouse. And Ty was super old school.
All right, sorry. What do we need?
That red onion.
Okay. What?
Small dice on that one.
Dice, okay.
Probably not even all of it. Half of it.
Half.
And I remember when I first got interviewed to work at the Reserve, I had told him I wanted to work the grill, and he had said the same thing. He's like, "That's a little ambitious, you know. It's our most expensive product, and usually we start you off at desserts or pastries, whatever." But he gave me about a week, and then he put me on the grill.
Really?
Yeah.
Over in Reserve?
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, that, for people that don't know, that's the fancy steakhouse. Very high-end product.
Mm-hmm. We had about, 8 or 9 different steaks on the menu.
Jesus.
And at any given time, you'd have about maybe like 10, 12 steaks on the grill.
Yeah.
It's definitely a beast for sure.
And there was we didn't have the technology back then where you could throw something in a CVAP or the ready to go. I mean, it was like from raw state, you know, on the grill or into the oven, depending on the temperature.
Yeah. And that was fun.
Yeah. Cause I remember coming over and, you know, you guys flying around you. It was Brian. Brian was on Saute, right?
Yeah.
It was Brian.
Yeah.
And see, everything's coming back to me. Those glory days. And you guys were like a symphony back there, like watching you two, like back and forth and everything else. But the one story that sticks out to me, and I'd love to hear your recollection of it, is I don't remember which dishwasher it was that was walking behind you with the, or was it a cook with the sheet pan?
Oh,
And it wasn't the forearm, right? Just seared off.
Like, oh.
He didn't say behind, you turned around and it just like seared.
No, so what had happened was I was actually working the fry station with you.
Were you?
Or not
with you. No, you were on grill. I swore you were on grill.
Probably in the middle.
Okay.
I know I was the inside expediter.
Okay,
for sure.
Okay.
And we had a pork Vesuvio on the menu. And you fried it in the grill. No, you didn't fry it on the grill. You seared it on the flat top. And then you passed it over to saute where Chad was working. I don't know if you remember Chad. I'm searing the pork Vesuvio and I put it on the sizzle plate and I'm passing it over to Chad. We're actually just throwing it in the oven that was right under him.
Yeah.
And I noticed that he's about to sear off salmon on his saute pan. And he had a good amount of oil on that. A lot of oil, actually. And, you know, I remember the moment, not because it was, because it was very painful too, but it's one of those that just goes by in slow motion in your head.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going slow-mo, about to put this pork Vesuvio in the oven, and I see Chad throwing this salmon, and I see these three giant goblets of oil just popping off the pan and slowly just hitting my my forearm right here. And it was the most, probably one of the most painful things that had happened.
I remember you just like wrapped it in a towel and you just kept going. You did not stop. I was like, what in the heck is with this dude? He just kept going.
At the time, my chef was right there and he was pretty intimidating to work with. And I mean, I didn't want to appear weak at all, you know?
Yeah, so no, I just kept nobody going. Does in the kitchen, right? When you first start. But I think, you know, with a lot of conversations I've been having with other chefs and folks is that, I mean, I think there's a little bit more grace now because they're realizing that some of that those old school methods aren't necessarily...
Definitely not.
In practice anymore, and you could scare away a lot of people. I mean, if you don't have thick skin, like, you're not going to make it in a kitchen. Like, just point blank, right? Like, you will not make it back in the day anyways.
Yeah.
To your point, like, I was scared shitless about what you guys thought of me and if I was going to fit in, and if not, like, what are they going to say? They're going to be like, oh, this guy, and then make my life a living hell, potentially. And then maybe I don't even stay in, right? Because I'm like, well, screw this. This is not worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think now, I think there's a little bit more grace. Plus, some of the technology helps, I think, in the kitchen.
It does, yeah, definitely. HR as well.
HR. Well, I mean, we had an HR department. I just think I was like in the mindset of like old school kitchen. Like, I can't do anything, but.
Yeah, Chef Matt was definitely old school for sure. Who was our room chef?
He was only there for a little bit when I was there.
Yeah, he ended up moving to Vegas, and I think he's at the Wynn right now.
Is he?
Yeah, but funny because they actually returned that salmon. They brought it back. I guess it wasn't cooked all the way through. And Chad's like, "Chef, where'd I put this salmon at?" He goes, "Not on Lewis's arm, that's for sure."
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
So then you went back to reserve. So Paula Deen's opened. I went to Paula Deen's, did the thing over there. But then you went back to reserve. And I had left, and you were still over there, right? Or you were still at the casino?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I had left. At some point, I had left the casino, too, because I had gone to, where did I go? I went to the Fuel Museum.
Fuel Museum. That's right. That's right.
I went to be a supervisor over there.
Yeah, because I ran into you. We were literally there, and I think I had mentioned something or whatever, but I popped in and said, hey, and you were like, ah, so there's catch up one after a time lapse.
For sure.
And then, I got some more paper towels there, and then we got more delis as well. Right. Sinks over there if you need to rinse.
Sounds good.
And then Sandy spray as well, if you want to give the board a spray.
Sounds good.
Field Museum, how long were you over there?
I was at the Field Museum for approximately 7 months.
7 months, okay.
7 months. And in that time span, I had lost 15 pounds dealing with the stress of working with Chef Stephanie. And I know you remember Chef Stephanie.
I do.
Yeah, she was intense. She would yell at me every day. And mind you, I had just graduated culinary school. I was just trying to, you know, kind of pound my way through. And she was like, hey, I got this supervisory position that would be great for you. And I was like, okay, cool. It wasn't, though. People were dropping left and right. They couldn't deal with her management style.
Yeah.
And she was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was rough because she was at the casino for a little bit. And when she was at Paula Deen, I mean, I think I pushed the buttons as far as I could. You know, and I think I had a little leg up because I was one of the only guys that could do, you know, the line by itself, which that was a nightmare. The lunch, some of those services where it was a one man line, and that was not fun.
Yeah,
made it happen though. But so I think I had a little grace. It was like we can't really piss him off because we gonna get to. Plus, we were doing all the prep at the same time, right? Like we were bacon wrapped shrimp on the line as orders are coming in because we couldn't get caught up on prep. It was so crazy and intense.
Definitely, man. What else did we do? We were doing crab cakes as well.
Crab cakes. I remember, I'll never forget. I was on saute. You were right in front of the station. You had the big bowl and you literally were like mixing them up. And as fast as you got them done, I was literally whipping them up. That, and I'll never forget Mother's Day when all I did was make the chicken avocado egg rolls.
That's right.
Station in front of the fryer,
yeah.
That tiny little space. All I did, the whole 10 hours.
Man.
Avocado
man.
Egg rolls.
And that station was so messy because you had to do those fried green tomatoes.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
My God.
Just a lot of frying per order, which is just flour everywhere.
I know. Okay, what's next? What do we need?
I want to grab me a deli. We'll put the avocado in here.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And now that last thing we need to cut up is the cilantro for this.
And that's about leaving. Okay, cilantro.
Yeah, and then we just chop it up, give it a rough chop. Maybe not even a bunch.
Yeah, you probably won't even need that much, but
probably not.
Here's what we need. Go from there.
For sure.
Okay, so Field Museum.
So yeah,
people,
I was there.
People have to listen to the refresh story because I have to know to play catch up myself. So Field Museum and then...
Field Museum, I couldn't take it. I took a pay cut, ended up going back to the casino. And that's when Chef Brian was running the Flavors Buffet. And I remember, were you had left about?
I had already left before Flavors came in play, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was after the whole Paula Deen fiasco and stuff where... Where the Paula Deen buffet kind of just went away after whatever she did. So that was interesting. But I came back and I wanted to work at the casino again. I wanted to go back to the steakhouse, but Chef Ty was like, I've got my guys already. There's a position at the new buffet, though. Just know that the new chef is a little eccentric, and Chef Brian was pretty crazy. But respectable guy. He had been in the industry for a while, and he had made a lot of noise, and it was cool and welcome me in with open arms just out of the respect and credibility that all the other cooks had for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because there was a lot of guys that were still there that had worked with you, you know, in the kitchen. So
yeah, definitely. There was the buffet ladies who had been grandmothered in for sure.
But was Finn? The little, she ran the salad bar. What was her name?
She's like Puerto Rican or something?
No, I thought she was like Vietnamese or something.
Oh, yeah. Thien.
Thien! That's what it was. Thien. Was she still there?
She was there for a little bit and then she retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was up there running the salad bar. This little Asian.
Little ninja. Definitely.
She was a little ninja, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't mess around. Like, she knew her stuff and what she needed to get done. And that was.
She was like, what, 4'10"?
Yeah.
80 pounds soaking wet.
Yep.
And then I would run into her in the cooler. Just literally climbing the shelves to get whatever product she needed. And I'm like, wow. Badass. All right. And then, we'll just clean this up. After this, we can assemble.
All right. And I know we got some beautiful shrimp that we're going to cook off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you went back to the casino, and then you left there.
I had left the casino to become... a better supervisor, actually. I had put in an application for the Morton Arboretum, not thinking I would get it because they didn't call me back until 4 or 5 months after I had put the application in. And that was actually my first supervisory position. And actually my most favorite job.
Yeah?
Yeah. I helped develop the menu, ran the catering program there as well.
That's a beautiful space.
Beautiful. And also I had a taco truck, a cafe, outside concessions. It was a beast.
Yeah.
It was a beast. Out of a kitchen that wasn't probably half the size of our casino kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's small.
And it was pretty amazing. My executive chef was the chef for the White Sox when they won the World Series. So he was definitely knew about volume.
Yeah, yeah.
And he definitely coached me and all that stuff. So it was me and then two other chefs. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, volume, I think, was one of the biggest things that I learned. Like, biggest lessons that I take away and was like, wow, I'm glad that I learned it.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of the, it was like a, Angel went on vacation, Don went on vacation, and chefs were like, hey, we need someone to bulk cook. And I'm like, all right, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It was really fun, right? Because you were just like on the go all the time.
Definitely.
I mean, it's a different thing, but it creates an angel. I credit that guy to this day on my bulk cooking. I mean, the techniques he taught me is like, all right, when you see the pasta foam up, spray it with this cold water. When it hits a second time, spray it. You know your pasta's done.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Definitely.
And he's like, yeah. He's like, you don't need to time it. That's what you do. And it was perfect every single time. But that bulk cooking allowed me to kind of go into higher education because I was feeding thousands of kids at universities.
Well, that's right.
With teams. So it just made it so much easier because I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal. I mean, we cook for thousands at the casino. What's a few thousand more? You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Once you hit that volume.
Yeah, definitely. Chef, you want to pass me the corn and the couscous?
Okay, so we got corn, couscous.
Beautiful. And then, yeah, we'll just start assembling it. What I really enjoyed about the Arboretum was kind of my introduction to catering and more specifically catering weddings. Mm. And that was a different beast in itself for sure. With tons of crazy stories for sure. I remember one of my first weddings, we had to stop food service because the bride had burned her leg on the Harley she wanted to ride in for her reception.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a smart idea.
Yeah, definitely. She had came in with her husband who was riding, and she was in the back, and she had singed her leg on the muffler to the Harley. Mm. So, yeah, she had to go to the hospital and all that stuff, and we had to delay food service for a bit. Then there was people fighting. There was the mother-in-law fighting with the bride.
Of course. I mean, any wedding isn't complete with some sort of sheer chaos.
Definitely. All right. We'll just add all this stuff in here.
Yeah, this is just like a vibrant, like, just kick-ass salad. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
Reminds me of almost like a chopped salad, but tweaked just a hair.
You like it spicy, Chef?
Oh, of course.
All right, then. Yeah. For sure.
You ain't gonna thin. Jalapenos on the okay scale. It's when it gets to the heat where it's like, it's just heat to be heat.
Yeah.
That I can't do. That I'm just like, that I'm out.
Definitely.
If it's heat and the nose is going and everything else, but it's flavorful all day.
Nice.
All day.
And then I should have my cilantro lime dressing back.
Cilantro lime. So what, just for people if they want to, you know, make it, because I want to put this recipe too in the show notes. So that way if someone wants to make it and how easy it is. I know we're kind of doing it at slow pace, but you mm-hmm. know, what's in the dressing there?
So it is mayonnaise based, but you can always do it with Greek yogurt. Sometimes even sour cream kind of just helps with the corn. But this is mayonnaise based. And then chop up some cilantro, chop up some avocado, run it through the blender with some lime juice.
Okay.
And then I finish it with some rice wine vinegar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Fold in the mayo and then you're gold.
Yeah, super easy.
Definitely. And I just like to make it very, very saucy. The saucier, the better.
That's right. I mean, you worked at Hooters.
Oh, yeah,
it's definitely. It's got to be saucy.
All right. Chef, you want to hit me with some salt and pepper?
Yeah.
I've been holding this recipe for a while, and I realized the only thing that it was missing was the garlic.
Mm.
So I will throw in a little garlic powder.
I can take that for you.
For sure. Thank you, Chef. And, yeah, it just had so much flavor.
Well, this is vibrant. It's spring now. Like, I don't know. It's just like perfect for the timing of the year.
Definitely.
It's starting to warm up.
Mm-hmm. I have this on my cafe menu as my little grab-and-go salad because, I mean, the secretaries will come and pick it up and eat it on the steps. It's perfect.
Yeah, so you're downtown now. I mean, in a sense, this is West Loop, right? Is it the West Loop?
River North.
River North.
River North,
but,
yep.
Well, again, what was really interesting is I was down there doing a thing for some chefs at RPM,
mm-hmm.
and I was driving home, and I happened to look at, you know, Instagram, and I had this message, and I never get messages on Instagram, and you popped up, and I was like, well, that's odd, and you asked, hey, were you just on, is it Kenzie? Kenzie,
yeah.
Kenzie. And I was like, by RPM, and I was like, yeah, actually, I was, and you're like, yeah, I saw you, and I was like, what? And then you mentioned how you were at the current place you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how ironic. Because I tell people it's the like biggest industry out there of mm-hmm. like running into, like, what are the odds? And I'm walking down the street. And mind you, I have a giant freaking vacuum sealer that I don't know if you, that's when you saw me, but
yeah.
Wheeling it down the road, like a $5,000, $6,000 piece of equipment going down the road. And sure enough, you just look out the window and
mm-hmm.
you definitely. See me. And then that's when I was like, dude, we got to catch up. We've got to like just pop on here, have some fun, mm-hmm. catch up. And make some good food.
Yeah, I had seen what you were doing. I'm like, yeah, definitely. I mean, without a doubt, I had to come and check this out. Which is a beautiful space too here, by the way.
Yeah, fun.
Chef, do you want to try it now, or do you want to try it with everything all together?
Always got to try it.
Yeah, definitely.
Get the spoons out. Sure you want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Got to have like a little bit of everything to get like that full.
Definitely. I'm all about the texture, about the mouthfeel. You even hit it with a little lime. I'm good.
I'm gonna touch more salt.
Yeah.
For my, you know, I like that avocado to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
I think salt's just a good way to get that to happen. I don't think I have any limes. I had some lemons, but I don't have any more.
A little bite of citrus goes a long way for sure.
It sure does.
All right.
Okay, salad's done. And then you wanted to do a little shrimpy shrimp, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I picked up these. I think they look pretty good. Picked up about a pound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are beautiful.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Shell on, 1620 count.
Shrimp. Beautiful.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they look really good.
We'll take the shells off.
All right, so let's move this off the side.
Yeah.
Let's get to cleaning. Maybe I'll give you part of them. It's been a while since I've done any. I got gloves under there, too, if you need them or want
sure.
them. It's up to you. It doesn't matter to me. Or did I bring them up here? Hold on. Oh, here we go.
Thank you, sir.
Whatever you need.
Yep.
It's been a hot minute since I've had to. Remember when we had to butterfly all those damn shrimp or the bacon wrap shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
Bacon all day long. Good Lord.
Were you at the Mosaic long enough to do the coconut shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that recipe was fire.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
Legit, one of the best recipes.
Mm-hmm. I actually did coconut shrimp the other day, and I did the exact same recipe.
Like, I can't find my recipe book to save my life because, you know, they gave you that full recipe book because there were some dishes that were just really, 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 really good. Here's deli.
Okay.
Put those in. And then maybe I'll get the saute going. Let's see. Let's use the big boy just so we can get them all in there.
For sure.
Get your first chance on the
on
this guy. So what's cool again with this one is, you know, you can really dial in where you want it and tells you if it's medium, saute,
yeah,
etc. So usually like 325 is actually, and it's efficient.
Yeah.
It keeps constant temp and it'll actually overcompensate a little bit. It'll probably heat up to like 331.
Yeah.
Because it knows when you put the product in, it's gonna drop down. But
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it kinda automatically kinda knows that that's what you're trying to do.
Okay. Nice. Beautiful.
Are we leaving tail on these guys?
Yes, tail on.
So, yeah, so now we're just peeling some shrimp.
All right.
Tail on.
So before I started working at where I'm at now with Compass, I actually had gone back to the museum a second time. I don't know if I told you that.
No, I did not know that.
This was maybe a year before the pandemic had started, so this was like 2019.
Okay.
And it was literally right down the street from me. It was perfect job. And funny enough, the chef I was working for would just let me get away with so much. And I wouldn't say it was toxic. I would just say it wasn't the best environment for us to get shit done.
Yeah. And, so what I look at it like with some of those, it's like they still teach you a lesson. Right, it teaches you not just like everyone's always like, okay, you learn to do this, you learn to do that, but you also, when you have some of the jobs and positions, you learn what not to do.
Oh yeah,
right, who not to work for, the type of people that you want to be around. So it gives you that lesson, because otherwise you don't know, right? And so that's how I kind of look at some of those situations. Is yeah, they sucked in the moment, but you look back and you're like, all right, now I know what kind of chef I would or wouldn't work for.
Yeah. I never considered a setback for me. I always considered it a lesson.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of, you make the best of out of a bad situation from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun working there. We didn't have as much catering as you would think. We had to compete with Blue Plate and Paramount and three other catering programs.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But I fed a lot of famous people through there, which is great.
Yeah.
I fed George Lucas, Hillary Clinton. A couple other things.
Are they
people.
Like normal people? Do they just want to eat food? Or can they get...
Secret Service came into the kitchen and...
Oh, really?
Bomb-sniffing dogs come
what?
And smell everywhere. It was crazy. Well, yeah, that's where I realized actually George Lucas lives in Chicago. He's not too far
I
off.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Can't remember the name of the gala, but it was nice.
Very cool. How did you end up now at the place that you're at now?
So once the pandemic hit, I was still with Aramark for a little bit, maybe up until 2 months after the pandemic.
Okay.
And they literally, I knew I was getting laid off. I mean, they had us just deep cleaning random kitchens. I was deep cleaning Rosemont, the Allstate Arena one day. And I was like, what am I doing here? I'm just like walking around and looking at all the wrestling posters and stuff like that. And then I think the next day I had gotten laid off, which for me was just daunting because I'd never been without a job. And, you know, you get that identity crisis too. You're like, you know, what am I going to do? So the pandemic happened and I actually started my own little meal prep business for a little bit. And that was pretty fun too. But I wasn't making too much. And at the same time, Chef Dean, who's, we had both worked with at the casino.
Yep.
He had reached out to me and he's like, hey, you know, I'd love to have you over here. I definitely need someone like you over here. But I was almost halfway out the door with the industry. I actually had taken up painting and was like painting houses and stuff like that. But he threw me a pretty good salary and I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And on top of that, it was a schedule that was unheard of for restaurants at the time.
I mean,
we had the banker hours. So,
when you find that people don't, what I like to talk about and tell, you know, even young culinarians, like there's so many segments, and that's what happened to me when I left and went to education.
Yeah.
When I had my first, you know, actual chef gig in at Loyola, I worked Sunday through Thursday, 5:30 in the morning to 3:30. And people are just like, wait, you don't work Friday, Saturdays? I go, no, the kids are gone. Like, there's nothing, there's no reason for me to be here. That's our slowest time. And they're like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no, like, legit. That is that is the slowest time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I kind of gave up the hope of glitz and glam and all of that. Because between pay, grab whatever you need. Between the pay and the hours, I was like, why would I go and get my butt kicked where I did that, making...
Definitely.
I think at the time, I think I was making $11 an hour.
Oh, man.
Get my ass kicked. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So why would I take all this time and try and like go back and try and become James Beard and this and that, not knowing what you're going to make? So I just said, you know what? I'm going to stick and ride this out. And it worked out, you know.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. What people don't understand is the higher you move up, the less cooking you do. Like I didn't do much cooking.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're running, you know, kitchens. One, it was union, so we couldn't really, I could train and develop, but
yeah,
unless there was an emergency, I couldn't go in the kitchen and just do what I wanted. You had to, you know, follow the rules of the union. So, you know, it is what it is, but there's so many outlets in this industry that you can go into and tap into the people you know. Like, people are afraid to, like, reach out because they feel like it's, oh my God. But I think that this industry is such a close network of people that, like, when you create, like, a good bond, like, it's always there.
Yeah.
Like, again, we haven't worked together in 13 years. Definitely. And it's like, boom, now we're here today. Like, again, it's like, who would have thought we'd be standing here on a podcast cooking, you know?
True. Yeah, definitely.
You want some avocado?
Yes. That would be great.
Anything else you need? Got SP. We're going to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. So you're not cooking as much over there, right? Is it driving you crazy? Do you get...
No, now with what I'm doing, I get to like be like creative and play with all sorts of toys, as I call them, right? All the equipment you see. So I get to play with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's no culinary boundary. It's like, okay, we'll create a dish. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's, so I just get to execute on whatever feels good that day, right? I take a peek at what I've got left over in the freezer, in the cooler, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make this today. And I just get to make it.
Nice.
Right. And so where the creativity's back, which has definitely sparked me to just want to be doing more things.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be very difficult to go back to, you know, office corporate-y type position. And I know some chefs out there, they're not stuck behind a desk all day. It just depends on what position you're in. But
definitely
what I was doing, the creativity was kind of getting lost. So
yeah.
This just allows me to have the creativity.
It's funny you talk about, you know, being this James Beard award-winning chef. And when I tell people I'm a chef, they always like, oh, well, you know, are you going to open up your own thing? Or are you going to do this, right. Or you're going to work at some Michelin star rated place. And, you know, we got that fever dream in our heads of doing that. But at the same time, it's like a lot of these Michelin rated places, they don't pay shit. One of my buddies worked at one of those and he was only making $11 an hour. I mean,
you do it for the experience, and I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, depending on where you, if you're younger in your career and it's just you, sure, go for it, right? Like, take the chances, take the adventures, mm-hmm. go travel, go work for whoever you can. But man, when you start talking about like getting older in life, and not that we're old by any means, but no. You throw family into the mix, like it changes the dynamic completely.
Definitely. Because you need good insurance.
Yeah, you need good insurance.
Definitely. I wouldn't say blessed, but I've been, had the privilege of not being able to have kids, so I'm able to step back and do the traveling that I need. And I mean, I could always go into one of these restaurants if I wanted to, but I think the dream is gone. I think the dream is just to be comfortable at this point.
And to me, it's all about being happy. My last guest, it was all about breaking the stigma, like taking care of yourself, being truly happy versus trying to please everyone else. And that's kind of where I'm at. Oh yeah, there's some tongs right there.
All right.
Do we need the board anymore?
I think we're good, Joe.
Good? Okay, I'm going to move that up so we can get this. So we can do some nice plate ups.
Yeah.
Of these. Move all this out of the way.
All right. So yeah, once the pandemic had kind of passed, I kind of took Dean up on his offer to work for Compass. And I was his sous chef for about a year. And within that year, I got promoted to executive chef.
I love it.
I'm still making good food. I mean, Dean is obviously a great person to work for. He's just very creative too.
We're going to do you want a little base of the salad down and we'll put the shrimp kind of right on top?
Yeah, perfect. These shrimp look good. Oh yeah.
Just a nice pile of food.
Mm-hmm.
Like I worry about plate up sometime, but at the same time I'm just like, I just want good. I think like almost when you're not trying, that's when it looks the best.
Definitely.
When you're sitting there trying to meticulous, I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. I learned you can't force it, you know? You gotta be organic with it.
Just whatever feels natural.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I like these little ramekin bowls.
Yeah.
Again, shout out to Roro for supplying those. I'm excited to get to use these kind of serving platter type dishes, if you will. Hadn't been able to use those yet, so.
Oh, and let's not forget the cotija cheese we can
throw on top. Oh, yeah.
So another job I didn't tell you about that I was at, this was actually before right after the Arboretum, but I worked for a pretty big catering company in Chicago. It was about the second biggest catering company in Chicago.
Wow.
Not going to name them. They kind of were terrible to work for. I lasted like about 3 weeks there. But it was that ruthless Chicago toxic kitchen culture.
Yeah.
My first day there, I had to peel and dice 2 cases of butternut squash. Yeah.
It was like if you don't put the protection of a Band-Aid or whatever, you're going to, I don't care how much you've been cutting and how big of a blister, you know, or callus you built up. That thing's popping open.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it did. Yeah. But I had peeled and diced them, put them on my sheet trays, ready to roast them. And one of the cooks, like, oh, I'll take care of it for you. I'll roast it for you. He burned them all.
Oh, no.
And I had to do 2 more cases right after. So that was pretty fun. On top of them hiding my knives and just being very abrasive and just not the best to work for. But I was there for about 3 weeks, and that's when I went back to the Peel Museum.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, right? That still, you know, that can happen. I know it still happens in the industry, but we're trying to break that stigma. show people that, you know, kitchens can be a fun place to work, that they should be an enjoyable place to work. I mean,
definitely.
Kitchens have always been a place for the misfits, right? People that kind of, they don't know really what they're going to do, and then they find it, and they just, there's a passion about it. And there's something that just draws you back in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially when you get to do things and the creativity gets to come out, it just magically, you're just like, okay, that's why I do it. The why behind, you know,
definitely.
What we're doing.
Definitely. Bourdain had a quote that said, working in kitchens was kind of just an in-between between going to jail or being shipped off to the army or something like that. And back in the day, that kind of rang true, but now I think it's different.
Yeah.
Definitely different. But I definitely like with the culture that I set with my kitchen. I always tell my cooks, I don't feel like you should be afraid of me. I mean, I just want you guys to feel respected and heard. And I think I do a good job of maintaining that.
Yeah, respect goes a long way. If people respect you rather than that fear component, it's that true,
yeah.
No, we want to listen to you because we respect what you do. We respect how you treat us. And
yeah.
You get more out of people, right? It's the Abe Lincoln. You can catch a lot more flies with honey than gall.
Exactly.
Know what I mean? And it's like, why? There's no reason anymore.
Definitely, sure. I think this guy's ready. If you want to maybe deglaze it a little bit, or do you think we should...
Whatever you want. I don't know if I've got... I've got some vinegars...
Water?
I got some white wine vinegar. I've got some truffle oil. I don't know what I've got up here. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
I'll
do
really...
some rice wine vinegar for
yeah?
sure. Yeah.
Okay. I got a mixed bag of stuff.
Nice. And
why
then
not?
How do you turn this guy off? Just go. Beautiful.
Just push the button.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
Get the bits and bobs up at the bottom.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go. Have you had any allergy scares?
When I was in... education, higher ed,
yeah,
every day,
really,
every day. I when I was in it, the dairy intolerance, so the milk protein, was
okay.
becoming more prevalent. So I worked very closely with a lot of students who had those type of allergies.
Yeah.
It was something I've always had to be aware of. And again, just being in education, you have to. It has to be on the forefront of the mind of like, can I make this gluten-free? Can I make this nut-free? Like,
mm-hmm.
if possible. If not, okay, and then we make an alternative. But there's just so many things out there now that make it easy to make things gluten-free. Or, you know, we would develop recipes where for some of the Alfredos, rather than using a roux, we would slurry it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's
mm-hmm.
That's just what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't have to worry about it. But I see it all the time. I'm sure you have to see it being in the city.
Honestly, not as much as
no?
I used to.
Really?
Yeah. When I was at the Arboretum, every other dish, definitely. You definitely had to have backup.
Really?
But.
Maybe it's just depending on where you're working at, the population, right? I guess maybe in general restaurants, you're going to get it here and there, but maybe not as much because people know what they're getting into,
yeah.
knowing what they have going on. But like kids, they're kids. They don't know any better. So
yeah.
you have to really facilitate and work with them. Avocado garnish?
Avocado, yeah, we could kind of do like a fan on that. And see, I think I got my knife over there somewhere. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I should have got a spoon for this one, but. It's a funny story, when I was at the museum, one of my sous chefs, she was insistent on throwing her secret recipe for her rice and beans. Come to find out her secret ingredient for it was flour. And I'm like, do you know anything about gluten? And, you know, how we have to, you know, be specific as possible when we're making this. And she's like, oh, it's my secret ingredient. They'll be fine. I'm like,
they'll be fine.
No, I don't think so.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough, my executive chef had no idea of the gluten allergy either.
So. Just put it on one plate. We'll do the others. Others when we get done. But, I mean,
yeah.
look at that. I mean, I just wanted some extra side dishes. Here you go.
Beautiful. Thanks, yeah.
I mean, it's just, Look how clean that looks. Delicious, vibrant. Mm-hmm. We got the pink of the shrimp, red. So you got all the colors. I can't wait to try, you know, the whole combination. It looked really good.
Definitely. These plates are amazing too, Chef.
Yeah. So again, shout out to Roro for those plates. Where, if anyone wants to see what you're doing, check out your place. You know, where do they find you online, etc.?
Sure. Well, my Instagram definitely is kind of where I have all my portfolio set up at Linomotron. I try and keep it updated, but definitely that's kind of where I have most of my updated food at. But right now I'm at Cafe 353 in River North, Quest for Kinsey. It's open to the public. If you guys want to reach out to me, I could always get you in and, you know, have a free lunch on me.
Oh, yeah. You got to visit. It's a great area, great spot. Chef, thanks for playing catch up today. It's been way too long. We've got to do some more stuff in the kitchen. I'm going to have to come down and eat lunch. Any last parting words before we sign off?
No. Enjoy.
Eat food. Enjoy. Live. Love life. Love yourself. Until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.